I shouldn't. No, I shouldn't. Okay, fine. No, I really don't want to. Okay, fine. Yerusha. So, as I mentioned to Ellie before, Ellie just realized that, I don't know, he needed his tea, but he'll come back. One of the reasons I really like Yesh Nochlin is because, and I remember this is my first impression when I learned Yesh Nochlin in Shon Aleph, was that Yesh Nochlin, you barely need to read Rishonim. All the Lamdus that you could possibly think of is basically in the Gemara itself. The Gemara, I don't know what it is about Yesh Nochlin, but the Gemara is very forthcoming in its Lamdus, and not like you can tease it out of the Gemara, but like the Gemara pretty straightforwardly is as explicit as the Lamdus as you would expect from like a modern Acharon. That was my impression of Yesh Nochlin. Then it's still my impression of Yesh Nochlin. Now, with that in mind, let us jump into the Gemara, keeping in mind all the questions that we saw yesterday that emerged just from careful reading of the Pesukim. And let's just read the Gemara and see how these things start to play out. Okay? Let's read. Yesh Nochlin Umanchilin. There are people who both inherit and bequeath. V'yesh nochlin v'lo manchilin. There are people who can inherit but not bequeath. Manchilin v'lo nochlin. Bequeathers and not inheritors. I don't know if that's a word. Fine. Lo nochlin v'lo manchilin. And then people who cannot inherit or bequeath. V'elu nochlin u'manchilin. Who are the people who can both inherit and bequeath from and to each other? Ha'avid ha'banim. Father to sons. V'abanim ha'av. Right, fathers can bequeath to their children, to their sons, and inherit from them, and sons can inherit from their fathers, and in tragic worlds, bequeath to them. Yeah, yeah, fine. Yes, yes, Ellie, you're right. Amazing. That was actually my bechina to get into Shir and YU, was on that line in the Gemara. Don't ask me why. Before I knew I was saying Shana Bet, so I entered, I had to have a bechina for Shir at the end of Shana Aleph to go to YU, and Roy Schwartz was the bochin at the time, and he asked me about that exchange. He asked me for my... That's what he asked me. That was the question. That was literally my bechina. When I applied to YU.
You're going to have to elaborate once you get there.
Okay. Yeah. That was my smicha bechina was on Tmura Daf Dalet, and my undergraduate the first time around was on Bava Basra. The second time around was not, because, that was a year later. Fine. I don't actually think I had one the second year. I think I already had one, so, fine. Ha'ish et nochalin u'manchilin, who inherits but doesn't bequeath, ha'ish et imo, a person can inherit from his mother, but he can't bequeath to his mother. V'ha'ish et ishto, and a man inherits from his wife, but a wife doesn't inherit from her husband. Uvnei achayot, and the children of sisters. Okay. Nochalin v'lo manchilin, who inherits but doesn't bequeath. Ha'ishat, this is the flip. Ha'ishat b'nav ha'ishat b'ailav ha'achei ha'aim. Then manchilin v'lo nochalin, ha'achem min ha'aim, lo nochalin v'lo manchilin. Your maternal half-brothers, you neither inherit from them nor bequeath to them. Okay? Fine. So the Gemara starts off with what Rami is baffled by, which is Maishna Diktani Ha'avid Habanim Bereisha Litni Habanim Ed Ha'av Bereisha. Why does it start with a father children? Why doesn't it start with the classic case of children inheriting from their fathers? Now, there's a very good reason why you should start with sons inheriting from their fathers, which is Kachi Darko Shel Olam, meaning most of the time when no tragedy has struck, kids inherit from their parents. That's not a tragedy. That's called life, right? People die, and hopefully they die at a ripe old age, and their children then inherit them, right? That's not a tragedy. So why don't we start with that? No, I'm sorry. That's the Gemara's answer. Sorry. Right? Why doesn't sorry Gemara? Why does it start this way? And the Gemara's answer to that is Chada the Achuli Beparin Lomet Chalinan. Right? No, the other way. The reason that we don't start with right. No, that's exactly right. No, that's what I just said. Right? One is that you want to start with normal, non-tragic cases. And it's not tragic for children to inherit from their parents. It is tragic to parents to inherit from their children. And he says, besides, the Torah says, wait, no. I got that right. I got it wrong.
No, I'm sorry.
No, that's exactly the Gemara's question. Why do we start with the tragic case? Try that again. Why do we start with the tragic case of parents fathers inheriting on their children? That's problematic. Reason one, because it's tragic. Why are you starting with a tragic case? And two, it's not even the way the pasuk goes. The Torah doesn't even follow that order, right? Meaning, it's both against the pasuk and the natural order of things for parents to inherit from their children. So why do you start with it? So what is the Gemara's answer? Tana, I did the atil and midrasha chavivalei. Yep. Because it came from a drasha, he liked it. And therefore, he wanted to start with it. What's the drasha? My drasha, the tani she'eroz av. Because as we noted yesterday, it's shocking, but the father is not actually explicitly mentioned in the parsha. So it has to be derived from the word she'ero, milameh cha'am kodev l'achin, which tells you that a father goes before brothers. Yeah, so now let's go to the actual drasha. If you want, we can talk later about what chaviv, right? I did the azimi drasha, what it, right? Chaviv alay, what that means. But let's move to the Gemara, okay? So the Gemara then says, Yachal ye kodem leben. So the Gemara says, okay, the father is not explicitly in the Torah, but why do you assume that even if you assume that the father has to inherit, or it has to be in the line of succession, why do you assume that he goes after son before brother? Why don't you assume he goes before son, even son? So Talmud Lomar HaKarov, because what's the key word in the context of Yerusha? Karov, the pasuk says, Karov, relative, close to. Karov, Kodem. The closer the person is related, the earlier in the line of inheritance he goes. And now the Gemara asks a very important question. Uma ra'ita l'rabot et habein ulahotzi et ha'ach. Why do you think that children, sons, are closer relatives than brothers? What?
That's not meant to be more
of an argument.
It's actually mentioned in the Torah.
No, it's mentioned in the Torah. Which we read yesterday.
Okay,
this is how it goes. The pasuk tells you, son, daughter, brother, uncle.
Okay.
Right?
Okay.
Paternal uncle. So the Gemara then sticks in father between daughter and brother. And the Gemara says, why? Wait a second. This is how the Gemara's logic goes. The father has to be somewhere in the process. And the Gemara then says, well, where do we stick him in the process? Well, there's a rule. The ultimate rule in Yerusha is
whoever's
closer. And then the Gemara says, wait a second, you're making some metaphysical statements about the fact that fathers are closer than brothers, but not closer than sons? Why? How do you know such a thing? Right? Meaning, everybody else is actually... Doesn't... It has... So the...
doesn't say yet, right? It just asserts that the father is closer than the brother. Now, what's the logic for, we'll get to it, but what's the logic for father being closer to brother, presumably?
Because the
brother are related to the father, right? Right, the brothers are through fathers, right? Your brother is your brother because it's your father's son, right? Right, I know this is like rocket science here, right? But do I need to explain basic biology here? But your brother is your brother because, right, through your parents, except we've already limited it to paternal brothers, so in this case, your brother is your brother because he's your father's son. I know this is very fancy, right? Very fancy argumentation here. But the Gemara then said, but wait a second. Okay, why do you assume, if you're going to put him in somewhere, why do you assume that he's closer than brothers but not closer than sons? So in that context, Gemara then says, well, let's try to figure out who is a closer relative, son or brother. And it's son. And then the Gemara says, how do you know? Okay, so before I read the Gemara, you tell me, what is the Gemara about to do? Okay, so Eli said a very important word. Very important word. The Gemara is going to look for reasons why the son is closer than the brother. Does anyone want to tell me, is that what the Gemara does explicitly or implicitly? Okay, so this is why I love teaching you guys, but you guys are so conceptually oriented that you've actually jumped. I don't think you're wrong, but you've jumped, because what does the Gemara actually do? Technically. Okay, very good. And therefore what? What is that doing? See, you guys are so conceptual. But you're failing to realize that you've made a jump. It is not a wrong jump, but technically, what does the Gemara actually do? Does the Gemara... What? How? What is the mechanism, what is the methodology that the Gemara is explicitly using to figure out who's closer? At this stage. Okay. Is that the same as what Eli said?
Explicitly, no.
Ah, very good. Thank you, Rami. Explicitly, what is the Gemara doing? At this stage. Yes, it's not telling you why. It's not giving you reasons yet why a brother or a father or a son should be considered closer relatives. What is it doing? It's giving you examples that indicate that this is the case. Later on, the Gemara is going to transition from examples that indicate that this is the case to rationales which explain said halachot. But it, right, I need you to understand, it hasn't done that yet. Right? How do I know it hasn't done that yet? Because what is the Gemara is going to start by playing what? A numbers game. 2 versus 1. And then what is the Gemara going to do? Negate the relevance of numbers in favor of what? Yeah, meaning from numbers to underlying principles. But that means the Gemara hasn't yet done that. Right? Right? Okay, fine. But watch it do that. And this is important, right? Because you have to be aware at each stage, every Havamina, every Maskana, what the Gemara is doing and what it's not yet doing. So, I like the way you're thinking, Ellie, but you're ahead of yourself. So the Gemara says, why do you say that a son is closer than a brother? So the Gemara says, Mar be'ani et ha'bein shekem tachat aviv li'yo'ada. So the Gemara answers with an example. What's the example, Yaakov? Yi'ud. What's Yi'ud? Good. So if somebody buys a minor maidservant, so the ideal thing for him to do is to either marry her through a process known as Yi'ud. What is Yi'ud? It's a process by which the original money which was used, alternatively, the Gemara has two possibilities. Either the original money that was used transforms retroactively into Kesef Kiddushin, or alternatively, the fact that she theoretically has a year left of service and he is now freeing her from servitude by making him his wife, right? Making her his wife. So therefore, there's value to that because a year of slavery, of servitude, is worth money and he's foregoing her obligations towards him as a maidservant by making, right, by upgrading her to wife. Yes, that is an upgrade. No, your wife is not your maidservant. There you go. There, I've said very controversial, right, very controversial philosophical statements there. What? It was like, I remember once when Rasalovsky gave a dating thing in YU. I wasn't there, but everyone told me that his first line was, I am going to put this in terms that all of you are going to understand. Women are gavras, not heftas. Right? So... He appreciates the yeshivishness of that very profound statement. Fine. But that halacha of Yud can only be fulfilled through one of two people, and that is the person who acquired the maidservant or his son. That's it. Sons, any of his sons. Not more than one at the same time. But any of his sons, fine? Two types of people, person or sons. Okay? Fine. So the Gemara gives an example where sons can step in their father's place, but brothers cannot. And then the Gemara counters with a counterexample, which is, Adirabba, marba etni et ha'ach, Shekem kam tachat achiv li yibum. I got a counterexample, which is yibum. Yibum. The brother steps in instead of the son. At this stage in the Gemara, still, have we moved? Have we transitioned to rationale?
No.
Not yet. We're at a numbers game, right? The next line transitions, and the Gemara then transitions from saying, this isn't a numbers game. What is it?
Volume.
Yes. We're not using halachot to figure out, right, in how many halachic ways is a brother a closer relative than the son. We're using these as tools to get at the conceptual layer behind this halacha. Right? That's our goal. Meaning, but what does that tell you? Ellie, what does that tell you? Yeah, meaning, what does that tell you about Yerusha? About inheritance.
Right, that it's not based not really on number of
I understand that this sounds obvious, but it actually isn't. What the Gemara is telling you is that Yerusha actually, what? Yes, well, what type of principle? What's the principle? The Gemara told you the principle. What is the principle? No! Thank you, Ellie. The Gemara is telling you that Yerusha is a principle that says the closer a relative is, the more logical it is that they inherit, because inheritance is intrinsically linked to being related to the person who is bequeathing. And therefore, any other area of halacha is only being used to, as an indication of who is closer. But the Gemara hasn't explained why kirva matters yet. But we will, right? The Gemara is very careful here conceptually. So the Gemara now breaks the numeric game and says, "Klum yesh yibum ela b'makom she'ein ben." Habamakom sheyesh ben ein yibum. Exactly. He said the internal logic of yibum itself tells you that sons are closer. Because yibum only happens because, right, the brother only steps in because there's no son to naturally be there as his father's heir. Which shows you, meaning the internal logic of Yibum tells you that sons are preferred to brothers. Yeah? Mm-hmm. So then the Gemara says, Taima di'ika hai pircha. Halav achi hava amina ach adif. So now the Gemara does something which is very weird, which is, that question sounded very conceptual, but then the Gemara sort of backtracks on conceptual argumentation, because what does it say?
Is there a better argument?
So are you telling me that if you didn't have that kasha, then you would have preferred brother to son? Yes, exactly. So I would have said, no, that's not a technical kasha. That's like Akasha that cuts at the very heart of what Yibum is. But the Gemara hasn't gotten there yet. The Gemara is not ready to say that yet. The Gemara seems to be going back and forth on whether we should view that as a halachic, as a technical argument or a fundamental argument. So therefore the Gemara says, Tepugle de hacha tarte de hacha chada. I skipped a line, right? Let's say achuza. Sorry about that. Steachuza. What was Steachuza? What's the Steachuza case? I skipped two words. Right? That the son steps in for Yud and Steachuza. What's Steachuza? Sorry, I skipped. I realized. Let's go back to Gemara. Mar benita ben shekem tachat aviv liyat liyada ul Steachuza. Sons take the place of their father for Yud and Steachuza. What's Steachuza case, Ellie? You did. It was the next word. I'm sorry. After you, it was the next two words. Ulis de achuzah.
I didn't see Tamadei.
No, I'm going back to Gemara. I accidentally skipped those words. Right? Go back. Go back to where you were.
Oh, okay.
No, before that. I just skipped the words. Lahot yer ach marvanit aven shekin tam davar aviv liyada. Back in the middle of Kufchet Amud Bet. Sorry, I skipped those words because I just... Back.
Yeah, okay, so it's after Karov, right?
Yeah, very good. Karov. Then, Umar ra'ita ben lahot yira'ach. Mar ben yira ben shegim tam kam takar aviv liyada ulus de'achuza.
Oh, yeah. So that's another argument.
Good, another argument. What's the argument of de'achuza? No, it's not inherent. Okay, I don't care, read the article to me. That's fine.
Okay, fine.
As long as you understand it, I don't care if you read the article, yeah?
Fine. So it is, in Baisura and Kafet, it means that when a person consecrates his ancestral land, it remains in the hands of the temple treasurer until Yoga. During the consecration, you may sell it, either back to the original owner if you wish it to receive it, or to anyone else who wishes to purchase it. The original owner received it before Yoga, properly received it. Retained that
Very good. So what is the halacha of Stechus, as Ellie very nicely read for us? Normally, if Yaakov sells his ancestral homeland in Milwaukee to Rami, so then when the Yovel comes, what happens? Rami has to give it back. But let's say he doesn't sell it to Rami. Instead, he consecrates it to the Beit HaMikdash. So then, what's the halacha? What's the halacha? So the halacha is as follows. If now what he's essentially done is sold the rights to the property to the Beit HaMikdash. Now the Beit HaMikdash can now make money off that land.
Yeah.
It can either sell it back to Yaakov, if Yaakov decides he regrets giving up his ancestral homeland in Milwaukee, or it can sell it to somebody else and take the money for the treasury. But there's a difference between those two cases. If the Beit HaMikdash sells it to Eli or to Gavi, and now the Yovel comes, so does Gavi get to keep it?
No,
it's the Yovel. But where does it go back to? Does it go back to Yaakov? No, it goes back to the Beit HaMikdash forever, and now it is no longer Yaakov's ancestral homeland. But if Yaakov buys it back from the Beit HaMikdash, then it does. Now, what if Yaakov's brother buys it off the Beit HaMikdash?
Oh, the
so then, what's the halacha?
Okay, so, it's kind of dependent on
this. No. What is the answer to that question? It doesn't depend on anything. If Yaakov's brother buys it back from the Beit HaMikdash, then what happens to it at Yovel? It goes to the Beit HaMikdash. But what if Yaakov's son, Mazel Tov, if Yaakov's son buys it back from the Beit HaMikdash? It remains, it's as if Yaakov bought it back, and it remains an ancestral homeland, which means that a son replaces the father for the purposes of keeping that land in the ancestral homeland, but his brother does not. Okay? Only a son can do it. So the Gemara then asks, wait a second, now back to where we were. Are you telling me that if you didn't have the question against Yibum, you would have preferred a brother? Why don't you just say that obviously sons are better than brothers, or closer than brothers, because sons replace their fathers for yi'ud and for se'achuza, and brothers only do for yibum. So even if you wanted to play a numbers game, sons are better than brothers. And what does the Gemara then do? The Gemara says, you're missing the point here. This is not a numbers game. This is a conceptual claim that brothers are not as related as sons. What's the proof? Because stay achuza gufa mehai taima hudika kaimale litana, right? It's the same reason. Don't you understand? Look at Rashbam umishani bishum stay achuza gufa lo kaima hudika erchen jeben b'makom avfemi alchem ela meach pircha. Stay achuza. The Torah doesn't say that it goes to a son and not a brother, that a son can replace not a brother. How do we know that that's the halacha, Rami? How do we know that a son replaces a father and not a brother for the purposes of redeeming Se'ahuza? Not because it says it's a pasuk, it doesn't. How do we know? For the exact same conceptual reason that we're employing it here, which is, if you look at the Rashbam, from what's the proof? Yibum. From Yibum, from Yiud, from the exact same game that we're playing. Because the common denominator between Yibum and Yiud and Se'achuza and Yerusha is not how many halachot can you line up. What is it? Who conceptually is closer. And we use the Yibum argument that, yes, it's true that brothers replace their brothers for Yibum and not sons, but that's only because there is no son, to prove that what? That sons are really closer, meaning none of these are numbers games. All of them depend on one principle, and that is Hakarov Karov Kodem. That the closer the relative, the more likely they are to take the place of their relative. And sons are consistently, conceptually, closer to their father, and all these examples are derivatives of that conceptual principle. Right? It's not that brothers might be closer, sons might be closer, let's count. No. All of these halachos are derivatives of the same conceptual principle. Namely, gufa mehaitaima tu kaimale letana klum yesh yibam eleva makam shein ben. Haye ben ein yibam. And the proof for all of them is yibam. The fact that brothers are needed to take their brother's place only because he doesn't have an heir is a conceptual declaration by the Torah that the prime relationship, the strongest relationship, is sons. Anything else is just coming to as a backup. Right? That's not a numbers game. That's a principled statement.
So then why can't
right? Meaning what Yibum shows you is that brothers only come to replace a legacy of a father who doesn't otherwise have a legacy. But that's only a backup. The prime relationship in Torah, the one that doesn't need replacing, the one that's obvious, intuitive, right? Natural. Remember that key word? Remember we saw this several times. Right. Remember, suddenly when you read this Gemara, something makes a lot of sense. When we read the first parsha about inheritance yesterday, what jumped out at us about the way the Pasuk treats the inheritance of sons? Right. It was, if he doesn't have a son, so then give it to his daughter, give it to his brother, give it, right? But the Gemara is functioning, and then we said, how do you know that sons are the primary? But the answer is, we don't know. But the Torah takes it as a given that sons are the heirs, are the primary heirs, are the natural heirs. Meaning, there is an assumption functioning through the Gemara that it's not that halacha teaches us that sons are the closest relatives. That's the given which explains all the other halachot. Right? That's a very different model. It's not that halacha generates the closeness of sons. It reacts to it. It responds to it. It codifies what is just true, right? It's a natural, I don't know, natural, metaphysical, social reality. I don't know whether it's social or metaphysical. I don't know, right? But it's something that the Torah is responding to, not creating, right? That's what the Gemara is highlighting here. It's something we already noticed in the Psukim. It's saying, stop playing numbers games. This isn't about how many halachot can I rack up to support the notion that in halacha, sons are closer. Yibum reveals a reality. It indicates that sons are the natural heirs. And therefore, if there's no sons, then you have to come up with a backup plan. But that's the principle that drives the halacha, not the other way around. So then the Gemara says, so Ema She'er Zeha'av, Ma'amed She'av Kodem Livbat. So why don't you say that a father comes before daughters? So then the Gemara says, first of all, Yachol Yachim Leben. Why don't you say a father comes before a son? Damad Lomar,
Hakarov karov kodem. Hakarov kodem. Meaning? Yes. Children are closer. What's the justification? No, the Gemara doesn't give. Meaning, the Gemara doesn't need a justification. It is obvious to the Gemara that this is true. Meaning, the Gemara takes it as the Torah takes it as a given. And the Gemara takes it as a given. Meaning, this is not something the Gemara ever has to justify. Meaning, the principle is, the closer you are, the more likely you are to inherit. The fact that children are your natural heirs, the Gemara takes as a given. No, that was to prove that brothers are before. No. Again, the Gemara started off by thinking that to prove it from Yibum by doing a numbers game. And then the Gemara's response was, no. Conceptually, Yibum reveals this. Right? But again, it's revealing it. It's reacting to it. It's responding to a reality that is obvious. Right? And therefore, the Gemara doesn't really choose to justify this. So remember I asked you, could it be that the inheritance of sons are different than others? You won't be surprised when we see the possibility that it might be. Right? Okay. But then the Gemara says, Kavan Dilinya. So now the Gemara says, okay, fine, that's a son. But how do you know that a father isn't closer than a daughter? Maybe it's only sons. So what does the Gemara answer? Kavan Dilinya Yibum Benuvati Hadadinu. Since in Yibum, a daughter is like a son, in the sense that it makes it unnecessary to have Yibum. Meaning if a person has a daughter, then Yibum is unnecessary, which shows you that a daughter is a child. Wait a second. So now, before I finish this Gemara, out of respect to Ellie's brilliance, because it really is quite correct, right? Because Ellie's a conceptual thinker. Ellie jumped ahead of me. Ellie said, oh, by Yibum, you don't mean Yibum. You mean what Yibum represents. Okay, so skip for a moment to Kufya Tetam and Ben. Okay? So the Gemara there says, look at the two lines before the wide lines. Tana, binot Slavchad chokhmaniyot hein, darshaniyot hein, sitkaniyot hein. The daughters of Slavchad were smart, lumdish, and righteous. Chokhmaniyot hein, they were smart, shilafisha adibro. Because they were clever in when they approached Moshe. The Amar Rabbi Shmuel bar Rabbi Yitzchak, because Rabbi Shmuel bar Rabbi Yitzchak said, "Milamed shaya Moshe Rabbeinu Yoshev v'Daresh b'Parshat Yabmin." They approached Moshe when he was teaching the laws of Yibum. Shene Emar ki Yeshua chem yachdav, because the Yibum starts off when brothers are sitting, right, live together. Amru lau, they said to Moshe, "Im kiven anu chashuvin." Tenu lanu nachala kiven. If we are children just like sons, then let us inherit. Im lav tityabem imenu. And if we don't count as children,
let our mother remarry.
Let our mother not remarry. Do yibum. Now, what is the... Now, someone tell me, what does that argument mean? What is the conceptual import of that argument? Why does that make sense? Ellie. Right, why does that argument make sense? Either let us inherit, or let our mother do Yibum.
Because then, regardless,
Is it about inheritance?
Well, yeah, I mean, that's the
one. You said it before, what?
So what does
the Gemara tell you? That Yibum and Yerusha are two sides of the same coin. Is the coin inheritance?
Or is it...
No, it's not inheritance. How do I know it's not inheritance? Because Yibum, Yerusha doesn't tell you what it's about. It only tells you what it is.
Right.
Yibum tells you what it's about. What is it, Yaakov?
About
Yes. Yibum tells you it's about legacy. Because if there is no son, then you need to do Yibum for what purpose? Lehakim Shem Lehachiv. To keep his brother's legacy going. Which means... Yes, exactly. Which means that Yibum is about legacy. But the Gemara tells you that Yibum and Yerusha are two sides of the same coin. Which means in some way, Yerusha is also about legacy. In what way is that? So look at the Rashbam. Rashbam puts it very succinctly. He says, one second. Im kivenanu. Okay, you see this? Rashbam, like halfway down the wide lines on Kuf Yud Tanu Vet. He says, Im kiven anu listor imenu miyibum. If we are like sons to get our mother out of Yibum, shaharei hayavam kam al shem achiv l'nachala. Because the brother steps into the brother's place for Yerusha, kiderchin via vamot, vahaben mon omil yavim et imo, and the existence of a son prevents Yibum, umil eresh et aviv, and prevents the brother therefore from inheriting, upoterhu et imo, the eresh et aviv, ava bat kain, and a daughter does that also. Why? And then he says the magic words, Usvara be'almahu. How do you know that daughters count for the purpose of Yibum? Svara be'almahu. What is Svara be'almahu? Svara be'almahu. It just makes sense. Be'alma. It's just a Svara. What's the Svara? Ilu hayelo ben. They knew that sons inherited. No, I won't read through this Rashbam. We don't need it actually for our purpose. What does Rashbam tell you? That all of this is logical. But what's the logic? Tell me the logic. The Rashbam tells you that there's a logic which comes from Yibum, and it's just obvious. What's the logic?
Okay.
Yaakov already said it.
And children come first.
Why did it come first?
Well, why?
Because they prevent Yibum.
Why did they prevent Yibum? Very good. Meaning, what is the Gemara coming to tell you here? Why does the Gemara think that Yibum and Yerusha are two sides of the same coin? Because Yerusha isn't just about property. It's an expression of yet a more fundamental truth, which is that the most important thing that people want to do when they die is ensure they have a legacy. And who naturally, as the Rashbam says, Misvara, carries on the legacy of children. How does that express itself halakhically? Not what generates that reality, but what does that reality generate? So it generates in Chazal's mind two things. One, it precludes Yibum because Yibum is a replacement when someone doesn't have a legacy. But how do I know that somebody who has a son or a daughter has a legacy already and therefore doesn't need a replacement legacy? They have a natural legacy. How do you know? It's self-evident. You right? What we notice in the Pesukim, it's self-evident in Ben and Lo. If he doesn't have a son, then we got to talk about it. If he has a son, it is self-evident that the son carries on his legacy. Right? And when the Gemara says that, how do you know a son is better than a brother for Yibum? answer, because you don't need Yibum if there's a son, it's not saying something technical. It's saying Yibum is what do you do with someone who otherwise will have no legacy?
You get him a son.
But if he has a son, you don't. It's just natural, right? Nobody needs to tell you that when you have children, you live on after death. Everybody knows that, right? That's part of the reason people naturally want to have children, or, right? That's like, or if you, right? Someone will tell you that whether they're a theologian or they're a atheist, right? Evolutionary biologist. They will, right? They will couch it in the exact same terms. Nature wants your genes to be passed on, right? Everybody, religious, secular, has an intuition that people want to live on past death. And the way you do that is through progeny, right? Everybody has halacha is responding to that reality. Then the Gemara says, but what was the argument of the Benot Zalchad?
I mean, so either we are...
Yes, exactly. Either you think that daughters count,
or they don't.
If they count, then that expresses itself through Yerusha. If we don't count, then that means we count that we don't exist for the purpose of legacy building, and therefore you have to find a different way to carry on our father's legacy, i.e., let our mother perform Yibum. But you can't have it both ways. Either we are the natural continuation of our father and he has a legacy, or he has no legacy and you need to create one for him. Right? But what you see consistently throughout the Gemara, as the Rashbam notes, is that the halacha of Yibum, the halacha of Yerusha, more than it is a halachic construct that creates related laws, it is halacha that responds to realities, to social realities, to metaphysical realities, right? That's the principle that the Gemara is dealing with. That's why Yibum and Yerusha are two sides of the same coin, because neither are really about, right? Both of them are really expressions of a more fundamental principle, which is carrying on legacy, carrying on a shame, right? Right, you see how that emerges from the Gemara, the way the Gemara plays with these concepts, right? It's not a numbers game. It's a fundamental question about how do we respond to the natural realities that exist, and how do they manifest themselves in halacha, right? Okay, because of Chaim Moser's giving share, I'm going to stop here. But like I said, when it comes to Yesh Nochlin, you don't need to spend too much time reshowing him. All I want you to do, just like we did yesterday with Psukim in Yesh Nochlin, you just need to sit on the Gemara and figure out what it's actually doing. What it's doing is transitioning from a claim that this is a series of technicalities that Halacha created to a reality, a conceptual, metaphysical, social reality that Halacha is responding to. When you finish, in order, right? I'm not rushing you.
Okay.
I want you to really understand what the Gemara is doing,
yeah.
Right?
Okay.
Once you finish with the Gemara, then yes, I want you to do the other sources on the page. Okay? Fine.